1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Foolish or power. Paul is speaking about how he preached the gospel. And the way he preached the gospel says something about the way we come and preach the gospel. The preacher is not the only one who has the task of preaching the gospel. All of us preach it in some way at our appointed time. The preacher comes up on Sabbath morning to preach, but you get up Monday morning to preach in life and deed. The preacher stands up and preaches largely to a converted audience, yet you have to preach among folks who don't know and don't care. So this text is explicitly applicable to the life and needs of those who preach the power of the cross every day. The writer states that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who perish, but power to those who are being saved. Foolish and powerful. The same word is foolish and powerful at the same time. The same word can accomplish something in the lives of those who are being saved and yet can accomplish little in the lives of those who are not. Foolish and powerful is this message that is preached. But let's look at the text again. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Our text begins by talking about the preaching of the cross. It is interesting that the original word used here is not the word meaning doctrine. This is not the doctrine of the cross or the teaching of the cross. Teaching comes from a different Greek word, which is didasko. Doctrine comes from a different Greek word. The word here implies the word of the cross, or the story of the cross, or the narrative of the cross. Telling the story of the cross is foolishness to some and powerful to others. This is not a mere talking that you must believe or you will not be saved. Sometimes doctrine is separated from living in the way we present it. Sometimes doctrine is not relevant to day-to-day living. But Paul doesn't say the doctrine of the cross is foolish to some and powerful to others. Paul says the story of the cross is foolish to some and powerful to others. It is a narrative. It is a story. It has a beginning and an ending. It is that story that Paul says is powerful to some and foolish to others. It is easy to look at a doctrine and then say, yes, I believe that, and no, I do not believe the other, and then go on about our business of living as we have always lived. But when you confront the story of the cross, not merely as a teaching, but as a story, as a narrative, you will face something that forces you to either be conformed to the image of Christ and note that it is powerful, or turn away from it altogether and see it as foolish. The logos, which is the word used here of the cross, the word of the cross. So today we are going to look at the cross not merely as a doctrine, but it will include that. Today we are going to look at the cross as narrative, and what that narrative means to me as I live in my own life today. But what is the message of the cross? What does the cross mean? We often sing about the cross. We should sing about the cross, but what is the story of the cross? What are the implications? What is the message? The first thing that we are to recognize when looking at the cross is that the cross is a means of death. The cross is a means of death. The message of the cross is a message of death. Here is a message that you can see wouldn't be very popular. The one who has placed on a cross was put on the cross until that one died. That one did not come down until it was totally over. In fact, if you lasted too long on that cross, someone would come along and break your legs so that you would die sooner. There was no reprieve from this death. The message of the cross means that the one on the cross will die sooner or later. This is not a popular message. Just think how folks must have thought when Jesus said that those who would follow him must take up their cross. Sometimes we minimize the cross. Sometimes we say that mild annoyances are the cross. My car's air conditioning doesn't work, for example. One might say, well, that is the cross that I have to bear. My kids are acting up in the back seat. That's the cross I have to bear. But in contrast, the message of the cross ain't a message of mild annoyance. The message of the cross is a message of death. To die on the cross is to die a death. When Jesus died on the cross, he was not dying through or to mild annoyances. He was not even dying to major annoyances. Jesus was dying totally. The message of the cross is first of all a message of death. When I say I am taking up my cross and I am dying, dying to what I want to do, God ain't got no problem with telling me to go somewhere because I am dead. Ellen White said once that living is easy once you are dead. The message of the cross is the message of death. In previous Sabbath school lessons, we saw that the Christian life requires something. It requires death. It is not something where we all get and give nothing. We give up all. Of course, our all is little, but it is all nonetheless. Today, there is a message that has no cross for anyone but Jesus. We ain't got no cross. Jesus took the cross and we enjoy the benefits without any kind of cross of our own. Bonhoeffer described this as cheap grace, a grace that costs the recipient nothing. The message of the cross means death to the one who was on the cross. If we are to take up our cross, then that says something about death to us. The message of the cross ain't just any message. Next, the message of the cross is a message of strength through weakness. The message of the cross is not only about death, it's also about strength through weakness. The cross teaches us that death is necessary to the one who takes up the cross. But paradoxically, the message of the cross teaches that strength comes through weakness. For it was at the cross where Jesus suffered the most humiliation. It was at the cross where Jesus was seen at his weakest point. It was at the cross where Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was at the cross where we see one who looked defeated. It was at the cross where they talked about Jesus. They yelled out, if you truly are the Son of God, save yourself. It was at the cross that weakness was shown. But isn't this what Jesus taught in life? To turn the other cheek is to show weakness according to this world. To forgive 70 times 7 is to show weakness. But the message of the cross is the message of the triumph of weakness. The message of the cross is a message that God will fix up weakness. The message of the cross is the message that that which is honored by God is not what is honored always by humanity. The message of the cross is that a dead Jesus on the cross is stronger than a live Satan in the palaces of the world. The message of the cross is the message that you may not see it now, but you all will understand it better by and by. The message of the cross is that true strength comes from doing the will of God, no matter where it leads, no matter how rough it looks, but to do that word. Finally, the cross points to a life that comes only through death. This resurrection comes only by the death of Christ. You can't have the resurrection without the death. Some of us want the resurrection without the death. Some of us want to live our lives now and then live the life on the other side. But the genius of the cross is that resurrection doesn't come without death. If we are to take up our cross, we have to stay up on the cross until we die. Eventually, we will die. The Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." The scripture in your version implies that the perishing is a sure thing to them that perish. But the perishing here is a process. The tense of the verb implies that the perishing is ongoing. Sometimes we talk about how salvation is a process, that we are being saved. And this text also states that. But being lost is a process as well. You are taking steps every day. You are either in a process of being saved or a process of perishing. What does your day-to-day life show that your process is? Is it a process of getting closer to the cross or a process of getting further away from it? Sometimes we judge ourselves by what we used to do and we don't do now. Some of us judge ourselves by how we used to smoke and now we don't smoke. How we used to party and now we don't party. But this process angle teaches us that we judge ourselves by how much self is left. Not have I stopped smoking, but if self is dead. Smoking ain't a problem. If self is dead, drinking ain't a problem. Self is the problem. And you are on a process. Is the process leading to the death of the self principle or not? You know, sometimes self can show itself in weird ways. When looking at the process, look at your day-to-day living. How does the cross life translate into day-to-day practice? When the temptation comes, it is time to crucify that temptation. The Bible says to reckon yourself dead to sin. When the temptation comes, reckon yourself dead. One preacher said once, if you go by a casket and ask the man in the casket to have a beer for the road, what will that man say? He will say nothing because he is dead, dead to sin. Likewise, reckon yourself dead to sin. Kill the thought. How are you going to crucify the thought when you're holding on to the thought, holding on to it daily, thinking about it? The Bible says, don't play for the devil. Your adversary is a roaring lion. Satan ain't playing. Put the thought to death. Kill the thought. It's foolish to some. Now, this message is foolish to some. It is crazy to some. It does not make sense to the one who are perishing. It does not make sense to those of us who are in our right minds. Somebody said once that religion is a drug to the masses. It is foolish to some. It don't make sense that the meek shall inherit the earth. to a world where the meek inherit a foot in the face. It don't make sense that life comes only through death. It don't make sense that I have to give up my own prerogatives, my own ways, my own wishes, my own way. It doesn't make sense. It is foolish. If we are honest, most of us will recognize that the message of the cross sounds foolish. It sounds foolish. This is why so many, as I read this, I recognize that somebody ain't gonna accept this message of the cross. If everybody accepts your message, then it probably ain't the true message. The Bible says that the preaching of truth stinks to some folks. The Bible says that the preaching of truth is foolish to some. We can and we must preach this message as clearly and lovingly as possible. But even after that, we gotta know that everyone ain't gonna accept it, because some folks can't believe that they are that bad and in need of help. Others just can't get up on that cross. It sounds good that Jesus dies for me, but I ain't gonna die myself. It is foolish to some. It is foolish to some, to those who are not being saved. It is important that as we go and live this message, that we live it to the best of our ability. It is important to find ways and techniques to preach the gospel, read books on evangelism, practice giving Bible studies. It is important to do all that you can, but also recognize that the gospel is going to be foolish to some, but is going to be powerful to those who are being saved. Oh, it ain't foolish to everybody. The message of the cross is power to those who are being saved. I like that terminology. Being saved implies that the cross is power today. It ain't just something that happened 2,000 years ago. It is something contemporary. And when you take up your cross in some way, it becomes connected to the cross 2,000 years ago. Suddenly forgiveness happens when you ask for it. But more than that, you see, I am really messed up. I need forgiveness for sins. But if something else doesn't happen, I will not be all right. I need power to stop doing what it is I am doing. That is where the death comes in. But it seems like the sinner keeps coming back in me every day. That is why you have to die daily. But if you are being saved, if you are standing up in the name of Jesus, if you are seeking to die daily, then power comes. That is the whole thing that baptism is. You die in the likeness of Christ's death and rise in the likeness of Christ's life. God didn't let you stay dead when you die in God. You can be certain that if you die in God, God's favor, resurrection will happen when you die in God's favor. God will resurrect you even today. I ain't only talking about the other side. I ain't only talking about in the by and by. I'm talking about today. When you die to sin today, God promises God will raise you in righteousness today. The Bible says that it is power. What kind of power are we talking about? The same power that spoke and the sea calmed is available through the cross of Christ today. What kind of power am I talking about? The same power that spoke and light jumped into existence out of nothingness, and that's available today. What kind of power am I talking about? The same power that opened up the Red Sea and the Jordan River for the Israelites is available through the cross. The same power that gave sight to the blind and opened deaf ears is available through the cross. It was impossible to stop smoking before the death of the cross. That was before the death and the resurrection. There is power now to even stop smoking after the death of the cross. It was impossible to stop before the death, but now it is possible. There's power to stop drinking, power to stop fornicating, power to stop doing whatever it is that you are doing. Power, power. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have to believe it. If God can't get you off alcohol, then how do I know that God can turn this corruptible into incorruption? If God can't clean you up, how do I know that God can turn this wicked world into a paradise? If God can't turn your life around, then are we just playing word games here, living with fairy tales? But no, there is power today. There is power today. And today, the question is, will the word of the cross be power or foolishness in your own lives? The question today is, would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's power in the blood. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. The choice is yours today. Will the cross be foolish or power? Foolish or power? God bless you.